given to me, I say to every one among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. The measure of faith that God has assigned to you. Right? We are called to live life, living by faith, according to the faith, empowered by God's grace, by God's largesse, by God's unearned gift. We are called to live by faith, by the measure of faith that God has given to us. Now, you might, at first thought, you might say, well, you know, when things are going well, that's when it ought to be easy to have faith. And actually, it's the other way around. When things are going well, it's easy to forget about God. It's easy to forget about faith. It's easy to forget about grace. And think, I can do it all myself. It's when things get tough. It's when you're sitting in the hospital office, the doctor's office at the hospital, waiting to hear the result of tests. It's when you're sitting in the waiting room as a loved one is undergoing surgery. It's when you're wondering, what's wrong with my son or daughter or husband or wife? It's when you're concerned and worried and afraid. It's when you have a difficult time that God meets, measures, gives to us extra helpings of faith. For without those helpings, without that measure, without that extension of faith, we wouldn't be able to make it. I know I wouldn't be able to make it. When things are going great, wow, life's easy. I can pretend as though I'm doing it all myself. I can pretend as though I can do it all myself. There are weeks when preparing a sermon is easy. You open the passage of Scripture, you look at it, and bang-o, you know what you're going to preach on. You know the order, you know the points, you know what you're going to say. It's those other weeks when things are going on in the congregation, things are going on in the world, things are going on in your own life that are difficult, exhausting, spiritually and physically trying. When you open the Scripture and you read it, and it's like sawdust. It's then that you need an extra measure of faith. It's then that God's grace can and will pour out to you an extra extension, an extra measure of faith. God gives us the gift of faith to live in this world. To live in this world in the face of the contradictions, in face of the pain and the difficulties of life. God gives us the extension of faith. But it doesn't stop there. We're not in this world just me and Jesus. It's not just me alone in this world. God's extension of grace and faith isn't just to each of us personally, apart from a community of believers. And that's what Paul says next. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members of one another. I've got two ears, a nose, two eyes, or four eyes, as the case may be, a mouth. You know the old saying, you got two ears and one mouth, that meant that God intended for you to listen twice as much as you speak. You got two hands, two feet. I got parts, body parts, arms and legs. I speak with my arms all the time, but my mouth tastes, eats, and speaks. My ears listen to beautiful music or to people speaking. My feet carry me from place to place. My hands reach out to help others or to type on a keyboard or to fill my face. Each part of my body does a different function, a different task. Sometimes they do multiple tasks. Oftentimes they connect together and integrate together to do things together that alone they could not do. But my hand is not a foot. You ever try to pick something up with your foot? It's not easy. It's not easy. I had a friend who could write with his feet. He had his hands, but he could write with a foot. That kid was weird. It was weird. Some people can pick things up with their feet. Some people can hear with their eyes by watching sign language, or read with their fingers by reading Braille. I mean, your organs and your hands and your feet can do lots of neat things. But in general, a hand is not a foot. An eye is not an ear. A nose is not a mouth. Each member has a different function. And yet, they are all part. Individually, they are part of one another. Specifically, as Paul put it, and individually, we are members one of another. Just as your hands and your feet and your eyes and your ears and your nose and your mouth all integrate together to do all sorts of wonderful things together, so also we, even though we're different parts of the body, we all need each other. I won't identify body parts here, but we'll just have some fun anyway. Rich, he's a mouth. There you go, that's typecast. Faye, your hands. Carol, your ears. Leo, your feet. We need all the parts working together. And each one of us, each one of them, is part of the other. Faye, I belong to you. You belong to me. We're sisters and brothers in Christ. Michael, you belong to Rich. Rich, you belong to Karen, of course, but you also belong to Hal, who belongs to Susie, but also Carol, who belongs to Michael. We're part of each other in the family of God. We're sisters and brothers in a way beyond blood, sister and brother. We're part of the family of God. We're not just hands and feet and eyes and ears and noses and mouths. We are sisters and brothers belonging to each other. Called to support each other and lift each other up and empower each other to do the task that God has appointed us to do, that God has meted out to us by God's grace through faith, meted out to us our role. Some people are great at being hands. Some people are mouths too often, but they're good at it. Don't look behind you. Some people are great feet. Some people are great noses. Some people are great eyes. We need all the body parts working together, cooperating together to be the whole body of Christ. That's what Paul is saying here. God's grace comes to us as the body. I may be pastor. What's your granddaughter's name? Grace. I may be the pastor here, but I'm no more important in the body of Christ and in God's sight than Grace, my sister in Jesus. We are all part of the body of Christ. We may be a hand, we may be a foot, we may be an eye, we may be a nose, we may be a mouth that runs off too much, but my friends, we are all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other as the family of God. I think that deserves an amen. Oh, that was weak, that was weak, that was weak. That deserves an amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I'll get them trained eventually. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. I mean, there are some things that Michael does that I couldn't possibly do. There are some things that each of you does that I can't do. There are things that I can do that other people can't do. We all have been given gifts by God's grace. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy. Now, most people immediately go, ooh, prophecy? Biblical prophecy is not what we think about in today's culture. We think of a lady sitting behind a crystal ball going, I see a dark, handsome stranger in your future. Or tarot cards, or I see that you ate lasagna last night. Well, that's because I got a spot here on my hand. No, that's not prophecy. Prophecy is what I'm doing right now. Preaching, proclaiming the Word of God, applying the Word of God for today, right here and right now. That's prophecy, friends. All right. Prophecy in proportion to faith. It takes a lot of faith to do this. And I often feel inadequate to the task. Ministry in ministering. Some people have incredible ministries. And it don't have to be just within the church. Susan Sargent, first service, told her this. She has a ministry in producing glorious entertainment in plays. That's a ministry. You have a ministry. Editing religious magazines. Communicating to the world the faith of the church. We all have various kinds of ministries. I praise God for the ministry of those people whose ministry it is to cook glorious meals. That deserves an amen.
Amen.
We all have various ministries. We're called to various kinds of ministry. And when we are, we should do it. The one thing I want you to notice in all of these is they're all active verbs. There is no passiveness in these gifts. They all function. They all are active. They call forth action. The teacher in teaching. I know teachers who, quite frankly, shouldn't be teaching. And I know teachers who don't teach. Why aren't they teaching? Well, don't get me going on that one. The exhorter in exhortation. Well, that's an interesting one. Perikleon. It's the in the Acts of the Apostles, the word is used for the comforter, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Exhortation, comforter, or urger. I like urger. Let's use that word. Let's retranslate this because exhortation is a word we don't use all the time in English these days. The urger in urging. All right. The giver in generosity. There are many ways to give, not just financially. Prayers, presents, gifts, service. Giving through being here, through praying, through serving. There are many ways to give. Don't hold it back. God has given you, has measured out to you faith. Give of yourself, your time, your talents, your gifts, your service. The leader in diligence. The leader in diligence. Spoude is the Greek word. And it means to be eager to do something with implication of readiness to expand energy and effort doing it. It also means to do it hurriedly, quickly, with much haste, not procrastinating. Leaders are called to be diligent, to be quick, to be intense in their action, to be speedy in their action. And indeed, the Greek word spoude is the root from which we get the word speedy. The leaders in being speedy. I wasn't going to say it, but I am. The Greek word spoudeo is also the Greek word from which they drew the name for that little bathing suit that the swimmers wear called a speedo. The leaders in their speedos. No. The compassionate in cheerfulness. The Greek word is hilaritas. We get the word hilarity from it. Hilariousness. The compassionate with joyfulness. Hilarity. These gifts all flow from God's grace, from the faith that has been measured out to each of us. And we are called to exercise them in our daily living as Christians, in being members of the family of God. We are called to exercise these gifts. So, be ye a prophet. And we got prophets in this congregation, friends. Many of them. Be ye a prophet. Be ye gifted with ministry. Be ye a teacher. An urger. A giver. A leader. Or someone who is compassionate. Be ye all of these. Be ye some of them. Do them. The one thing I can say is that St. Stephen has a history of exercising these gifts. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep exercising them. As we move toward that 50th year, keep expressing prophetically to this world the calling of God to love all and to welcome all without regard for who they are or where they're from. Keep proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, even the grace, especially given freely. Especially the grace given freely. Yeah. Oh, wow. I wish I had a picture of that for the website. Wow, what a grin. Receive the meted out, the measure of faith, and then actively act on it. Exercise that faith. Apply it in the gifts. And be the family of God. Not just to each other, but to every person you meet. proclaim that good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.